Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update Podcast. It is August 18th, 2023, and I am your host, John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from today's John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from its hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from the previous edition of the newsletter, and of the first four stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to check out the History of Trading videos on the MarketsWiki Education page of johnlothiannews.com, including the Open Outcry Traders History Project and the Path to Electronic Trading video series. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Yesterday, the LaSalle Street Trading Tech Awards Committee of the Pathway to Adventure Council of the Boy Scouts of America held its first meeting to plan for a November 16th fundraising and celebration event to be held at the CBOT building. This year's chairman is Terry Duffy of Advantage Futures, who was the first merit badge counselor to teach a merit badge class in the Trading Tech program when it was started. CME Group's Terry Duffy had agreed to chair the event a couple years ago, but it was continually delayed by waves of COVID-19, and he stepped down from the role. Terry was very pleased at Boca when I told him of the other Terry's acceptance of the role and pledged his generous support for the event. Advantage Futures CEO Joe Guinan has kicked off the fundraising for the event with a pledge of $50,000, and a futures accounting legend, Harlan Tenpes, has kicked in $2,000 to get us started. There is an award named for Harlan for kids who have earned 5 merit badges in the Trading Tech program. Unfortunately, because of COVID-19 and work from home, the Trading Tech program has been temporarily sidelined. This year's event is the LaSalle Street Trading Tech Reunion, bringing us all back together in celebration of our common interest in supporting scouting and the impact it has on the young and old who participate in the program. There have been many generous people who have given their time and treasure to scouting, including myself. In fact, as I was reflecting on all the ways I have supported scouting, one treasure that I have contributed is my daughter Kat, who continues to work at the Summit Bechtel Reserve in a recruiting role after spending the summer as an assistant camp director of the Summit and working in the administration building during the National Jamboree. She is full of scout spirit and is working on a degree in adventure recreation management at West Virginia Institute of Technology in Beckley, West Virginia. This is an important year to support the LaSalle Street event. The scouts have completed the long and arduous bankruptcy that stripped them of cash and property resources. PTAC is working hard to regrow scouting in Chicago and is already larger than scouting in New York or Los Angeles. If you are interested in joining the LaSalle Street Trading Tech Committee, please contact me. I will have more details in the coming months about how and where you can support the event and scouting. The Financial Times and Schroders have come out with the FT and Schroders Business Book of the Year Award, Book Awards, in a story titled Business Book of the Year 2023, The Long List, with the subheading Chosen titles explore themes including AI breakthroughs and the rise and fall of billionaires. Sadly, I have read none of them, but then I am a history buff and currently listening to The Guns of August by Barbara W. Tuchman on Audible. The Financial Times also has a new podcast series titled Introducing the Russian Banker. The series explores who is Sergei Leontiev, an exiled Russian banker who was persecuted by the state and forced to flee, the FT reports. Financial Times reporter Courtney Weaver and Stefania Palma try to uncover the truth about Leontiev and find a story that tells us about Russia today and how people in the West build stories about who's good and who's bad. A new report from CDP, Nature in Green Finance, Bridging the Gap in Environmental Reporting, looks at the disclosed environmental data from 556 financial institutions worldwide. The report found that financial institutions are failing to integrate nature and climate issues, impeding net zero ambitions. Learn more and download the report with the link in today's newsletter. Our most read stories yesterday on JLN Options were Goldman Sachs, here are the 20 option trades to make now using an investing strategy that has outperformed the market for the last 27 years. The market's skeptics are giving up, it's time to worry. And ex-Bridgewater executive to launch 8 hedge fund style ETFs. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. We have a podcast by Sally Duros. The headline, WFE CEO Nandini Sukumar speaks with JLN about ESG progress at the World Federation of Exchanges, the WFE's new green equity principles, and the difference between sustainability and ESG. John Lothian News interviewed Nandini Sukumar, Chief Executive Officer at the World Federation of Exchanges, WFE, about the findings of the WFE's 9th Sustainability Survey of Exchanges. First, Sukumar discussed the WFE's process for conducting the survey and its findings, which reflect the many ways that exchanges have increased their activity in the sustainability and ESG areas. You can listen to this podcast on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from the Financial Times. Its headline, Private Equity Lawyers Are Taught to Eat What They Kill. Law firms are fracturing partnerships by raiding each other for talent in London and New York. If a reminder were needed that we are living in a material world, it emerged this week in the once stuffy profession of corporate law. The U.S. firm Paul Weiss Rifkin Wharton and Garrison raided its larger rival, Kirkland and Ellis, for several top private equity lawyers, the kind of people who get paid up to $20 million a year. My comment, I prefer eat what you grow and nurture. Here is another story, this one from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, Investors Fear China's Lehman Moment is Looming. Troubles at a big trust company are making investors worry about financial contagion from property developers' distress. Signs of financial stress at a large asset manager in China are making investors nervous about the contagion from the country's slumping property sector, rekindling a debate over whether a Lehman moment could occur in the world's second largest economy. Zhang Grun International Trust, a seller of esoteric financial products that had the equivalent of $108 billion in assets under management at the end of 2022, has become the market's latest worry. 4 trust products managed by the firm recently missed interest and principal payments, totaling the equivalent of $14 million to 3 publicly listed Chinese companies, according to stock exchange filings. Beijing headquarters Zhang Grun has provided financing to many real estate developers and helped to fund their building projects. My comment. There's a lack of data that is a parallel. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. Cash-strapped collectors offload prized memorabilia, literally like selling away my life. Their collectible baseball cards, sneakers, and Barbies are their emergency funds. America's built bookcases and shrines to the baseball cards, vinyl records, and sneakers they collected through sometimes painstaking efforts. Now they are selling them off. Collectors say they don't have a choice. Their budgets have been squeezed by inflation and unexpected setbacks, and their debts are mounting just as higher interest rates make the cost of carrying that debt overwhelming. My comment, I hate it when I have to sell off my prized stuff. Here are the top three stories from Thursday's JLN. Our top story Thursday was, Don't You Remember Me? The Crypto Hell on the Other Side of a Spam Text, an exclusive excerpt from Zeke Pfau's forthcoming book, Don't Go Up, Inside Crypto's Wild Ride and Staggering Fall, from Bloomberg. Second was, a community-led approach to stopping flood expands in the Chicago region, from Inside Climate News. Third was Beware of Wealth Managers Quoting Data, an opinion piece from the Financial Times. Here are the top four stories from the lead section of today's JLN. Our lead story is from the Financial Times. The headline, China unveils capital market reforms to boost investor confidence. Lower fees and longer trading hours part of plan to boost activity as policymakers' concern over economy mounts. China's security regulator has announced a package of market-friendly reforms to try to boost investment and trading after months of underwhelming economic growth that has hit stocks and bonds. The measures, which the China Securities Regulatory Commission says were designed to, quote, boost capital market investor confidence, unquote, indicate Beijing's concern over the country's economic and financial health after a weak rebound from strict pandemic curbs last year. And then here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. The headline, options are all the rage in stocks with $2 trillion deadline looming. Record zero DTE trades, dealer positioning, fuel market gyrations. Time to hedge ahead of Jackson Hole, says Spot Gamma's Kochuba. The fresh boom in stock options that expire within 24 hours has grabbed all the attention on Wall Street trading desks, spurring a Goldman Sachs Group warning that the activity is fueling the recent market sell-off. Now the grown-up versions of the derivatives are back in the spotlight in the monthly event known as OPEX. Here's another story, this one from CoinDesk. The headline, Coinbase tarred as an illicit exchange by the SEC, quietly got regulated elsewhere in the U.S. As Coinbase Inc., Coin, scraps with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, on its right to exist as an exchange, the company has achieved an unprecedented milestone in U.S. oversight by winning approval to handle customers' buying and selling of crypto futures. In an industry desperate for U.S. regulation, Coinbase is now registered as a Futures Commission merchant, or FCM, with the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, CFTC, akin to an SEC-registered broker-dealer and a club that plays a key role at the core of U.S. derivatives trading. As the first crypto-native company to win that designation, it's potentially blazing a path to U.S. oversight, at least in the world of commodities. Here's another story, this one from the Financial Times. The headline, ETF investors set to pay for helping reduce meme stock risk. Mismatches as a result of U.S. transition to T+1 settlement next year will particularly affect ETFs. Exchange-traded fund industry participants are bracing themselves to take on a costly transfer of risk from U.S. retail brokers, such as Robinhood, when the U.S. unilaterally implements T+1 settlement in May next year. The move, which will reduce the standard U.S. trade settlement of 2 business days to just 1 for all U.S. securities, U.S. Treasuries already settle on T+1, would reduce credit, market, and liquidity risk for market participants, according to the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling your friends about our podcast. And if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.